I think those were okay, right?
That was better tuning.
Better
on those.
Tuned.
Yeah.
Yeah, whoever was hitting the bing, bong, bing.
You know, although the thing that I noticed here, John Lang announcing, mm-hmm. And it was a Kraft show, and it was not Ed Herlihy.
Right, little old me, Ed Herlihy. Yeah, once in a while, I don't think Ed Herlihy did any of the Gildersleeves. I wonder if it was because Ed Herlihy was on the East Coast. It could be. And these were out of the West Coast. So maybe that could be. Because like on The Falcon, which was a East Coast show sponsored by Kraft.
I'm glad you said The Falcon, because that's how it's pronounced. Mm-hmm. But on the show, they call it The Falcon.
Falcon.
It's like, hey, don't make me jump through there and slap you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's Falcon.
Thank you.
And I think that's why, because I think Ed Herlihy was East Coast.
All right.
And this was a West Coast show. But yeah, Hal Perry is Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve there. Walter Tetley as Leroy. And good show. Sponsored by Kraft, as heard on NBC. Wayne Messmer is with me till 3 o'clock in the morning. He is the man. He knows these shows. I'm telling you, this guy can go round for round with me with these classic radio shows. And
I've been leg wrestling while listening to the show.
Exactly. And I got hooked on these classic radio shows. You and Chuck Shaden were playing these programs back in when I was a teeny bopper.
Mm-hmm.
And you were only 14. I was 12, and you were 14.
I was a bit more mature.
Yeah, you had a deeper voice.
And probably
you
still
matured
am,
early.
Now that I think of it.
Yeah. So you were on WXFM with your show.
Right.
From what years?
Oh yeah. It was a 3-year run, and I know the artwork that I've handed to you tonight.
1981
was from 81.
So it was late 70s.
Yeah, I'd say from like 78 to 82, or 79 to 80.
What I remember about one of the things I should say that I remember about, I would set my alarm for like 5:45 because you started at 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Set my alarm for 5:45. I didn't have to be up till about 8, but I didn't want to miss the show. And my sister Angela, she would sometimes use her blow dryer, and it would make, because it was FM.
Right.
It would disrupt the signal. And I'd be like,
this is not good.
Jella, I can't hear the show. There's static. And
Did you call her Stella? Did you say
Stella?
Yeah.
I could have been a contender.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I remember.
I wish that I would have been able to set my clock at 5:45 back then. But driving in, we were living in I think at that time not. Well, maybe you're living in Buffalo Grove.
Okay. Well, that's a haul.
That was a drive.
That's a
and
haul.
And I was at 80 in 81
because
I did eight. Well, I was just getting involved with the Chicago Sting soccer team, and they had won. Matter of fact, I referenced the drawings that you gave. Were from program guides right at the time that they won the Soccer Bowl in 81 with a big downtown parade.
Right. Now, those pictures, yes, go ahead.
I was the announcer of that.
Ah, the pictures that I drew for your newsletter are posted where, Ashley?
On WGN's Facebook page.
Go to WGN's Facebook page, and you'll see the pictures that I drew for Wayne back in 1981.
And your twin sister apparently did one.
Carol did one.
Yeah. We look at it. From 1981, we finally do a proof read of this thing.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, he spelled my name with an O.
No, he did.
Oh, boy. What are you going to do? Hey, I forgive you, Wayne. I forgive you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more with Wayne Messmer here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. It is the WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Saturday night from 10 p.m. till 3 o'clock in the morning. 5 full hours of your favorite classic radio shows. Lisa Wolf, my co-host, is on vacation. She'll be back next week. And pitch hitting.
You're here.
I am here every week.
I'm just jumping in today.
Yes. Pitch hitting for Lisa is the great Wayne Messmer. And he loves these classic radio shows. He's been collecting, listening, playing, enjoying classic radio since the 70s, like me.
I know. You get so into this that you love these things. And the other thing is when you finally did, like when we were able to see these people on their TV shows, the ones who could make the transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've ever not seen a radio show done, I mean, these are magnificent voice actors.
Yeah.
But they're reading off of a script.
Right.
Suddenly, you have to really act. You have mm-hmm. to memorize mm-hmm. lines. Mm-hmm. And the likes of a George Burns and Gracie Allen or Jack Benny and Mary Livingston, the way they made that transition. Fibber and Molly, not quite as much.
No, they didn't. They couldn't make it. It was two other actors. It didn't work. Kathy Lewis, I think, and I'm trying to think who the guy was. It didn't work.
Which means that Elliot Lewis had his hands in something else.
He was probably producing something else, at the time.
He was being Frankie.
Well, yeah, I mean, and as you say, a lot of these shows made the transition, and it was the same actors, and a lot of times it wasn't. Like the last show we're going to play, Father Knows Best, only Robert Young made the transition.
Yeah.
In our next hour, we're going to tune into Eve Arden, Our Miss Brooks. They're exchanging Christmas presents on New Year's Eve because they didn't like all the presents, so they're exchanging them. And then Father Knows Best with party preparations for New Year's. So lots more classic radio coming your way. Stick around. Wayne Messmer and I will be right back.
Pepper Road.
We sing well together. Like
yes,
that.
We do. We sound great.
That's very nice. Yeah, we collect... radio shows.
Yes, we do.
Love this stuff.
Oh, we love it.
I've had a collection forever. You have had a collection forever. To the person who's just hearing this for the first time, and I think of this when I sing the old crooner songs.
Yeah.
That sometimes they're hearing this song for the first time.
I know.
You know? But what's a good way to really find where to... You know, where to start a collection?
Well, I mean, you know, the Classic Radio Club that I have had for about 20 months now is really a great way because you're not overloaded with shows. It's 10 shows a month, and you get the best quality shows from my collection. So if you want to learn about that. And the best thing is it's $1 the first month. $1 to try it.
Are you nuts?
$1. And here's the thing: if you're not happy for what you don't want to continue, you just cancel. You could cancel at any time.
Well,
so
it's an easy way to get into
$1. Try it. It's you get 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time. Then each month you'll get 10 shows for $1 a show, $9.99.
Sheesh.
And you get liner notes. And you get, and when I talk about the best quality shows in my library, that's what you get each and every month for the Classic Radio Club. Just go to Classic Radio Club. .com. Now, if you are into, and that's digital, you can get them digital or you can get them on CD. CD's a little more, $14.99 for 5 CDs. But if you are into digital downloads, if you want to collect like a lot of shows via digital download, then try the new website that we just launched. It's the number 100radioshows.com. So 100radioshows.com, 100. radioshows.com.
And when I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, when you go there, there's 7 different collections with 100 shows in each collection.
Come on.
Yeah, 700 shows.
Man. I know once you start, though, you know, it's like, oh, I love this. I want the rest of the series.
Right.
I
What's your favorites? Give me 3 or 4 of your favorites.
I like the characters. So, I mean, to me, Mary Livingston, I think, is brilliant. She's the best.
Right.
The best of the smart aleck wives.
Yeah, she was great.
She was great. I like Gildy a lot, and Fibber is still one of my favorites.
Right, so you
guys.
Like the comedies.
I do, like but the comedies. Give me a good Sam Spade, too.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Duff. You know,
Howard Duff.
Yeah.
Married to Ida Lupino.
Yes, she
And
was.
Ida Lupino is actually going to be on our show, well,
I hope
a
not.
Radio show
oh.
that she was in
Thank you.
Next week, because she was a villain.
Ooh.
On Batman. She played, I can't remember the name of the villain right now, but so next week when we are here at 10 p.m., we have Burt Ward on the air. He's going to be calling in from California. We're going to talk to him for about a half an hour, and then we're going to play 5 shows with villains from the Batman radio series.
All right.
Burgess Meredith.
Uncle Milty.
Cesar Romero in a show. We have Vincent Price, who was Egghead. On Suspense.
Hey, I've been called worse. You know, and also, and the Burns and Allen and Philip Marlowe.
Yeah.
You know, Vincent Price, I've always wanted to hear a program with Vincent Price and Eve Arden.
Oh, yeah.
Two of the most over pronouncers.
Yeah, they really did.
Yeah.
Overpronounce. Yeah, and he was, I mean, he played the Saint.
The Saint.
Yeah, he was the Saint on radio. I think that might have been his only regular radio show, but he appeared a lot on radio. He must have liked doing radio.
And creepy movies.
And very creepy movies.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Eve Arden,
yes.
In this hour, Our Miss Brooks. So you don't want to miss that. That's coming your way in just a few minutes. Then in our next hour, hour five, it's Father Knows Best with Robert Young. But right now it's time to play our game. Guess That Song, brought to you by Cat's Pride. It's two songs from 1975, and you'll win some Twilight Zone radio drama CDs. Call now, 312-981-7200. We'll take caller 5, 312-981-7200. Win some Twilight Zone CDs. Wayne Messmer will be your lifeline. Call now. We'll be right back.
Guess That Song.
All right, let's guess that song. We have Stacy from Algonquin. What's up, Stacy? How are you?
Oh, I love the show.
Thank you.
I can't believe I got through.
You did. You
and
got
And you're still
through.
Awake, and so are we.
Yeah.
I know.
We've been drinking coffee on this end. Are you drinking coffee, Stacy, to stay up with us, or are we just keeping you up because of our...
We're just drinking.
Water.
Little water. Yeah. Are you a 1975 music fan?
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Beautiful. Finally, somebody knows these songs.
Let's do this. Here's song number one for Stacy.
It could have been me, but it was you. Who went and bit off a little bit more than he could chew.
Now, see, I wouldn't know this one.
Yeah, I kind of know.
I don't know this one.
If you go to church in some churches, if you're not standing, you...
You kneel.
Ah, you do kneel.
You're halfway there.
that's the singing.
No,
the other kneel.
Oh my God!
Starts with an S.
Yeah, rhymes with Madaka.
Neil Sedaka.
How did you get it?
More of the song. It's nice to have a Wayne Messmer as your lifeline.
Just think how happy it makes me.
Yeah. Bad blood.
Bad blood.
Yeah, there it is.
Ouch.
All right, so you know what? You guys worked it out. Good job. All right, next song. Here we go. Ooh, yeah. One of my favorite bands. That's all you get. What do you think?
Is this some kind of voodoo thing that you brought from home?
Yes. It's from the Brady Bunch, you know, a little voodoo doll that they had on the Brady Bunch. What do you think? What do you think, Stacey? You know that song?
You know, I'm a big fan of the disco, and my husband and I, we dance to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot...
Well, this song's not disco. Know.
Is it the love theme from Killer Bees, that fine movie?
No, let's play a little more of it. You'll get it.
There's your title right here.
Aerosmith, Sweet.
Sweet emojis.
Emojis. All right, you're a big winner, Stacy. You're going to win some Twilight Zone radio drama CDs. Sound good?
Great. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.
Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate you. Great job. She's a big winner, and we have an Our Miss Brooks radio show. This was a good show. This was on radio and TV, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, Eve Arden.
Yeah, I liked her a lot.
Yeah. She wasn't the first person they went after for the role. They wanted Lucille Ball, but she was busy. She was doing a show called My Favorite Husband at the time.
She was, with Richard Denning.
That's right. And then, then they were like, well, how about Shirley Booth? So they recorded
Hazel.
Yeah, they recorded an audition record, and they didn't like it.
She's got to go, buddy.
She's got to go.
Eunice Mary Quiddens.
Yeah, that's right. Eve Arden.
Arden.
Yep. Wow. And she, I think, took her name from a perfume or something like that. I remember...
Quiddens?
I remember reading she took
Eve.
I don't remember, but it was something. She took her name from a perfume and something else.
Yeah,
and she was Eve Arden.
You know where people will remember her if you're not from the generation of 1950 when this was on,
mm-hmm.
or heard it since, as the principal in Grease.
That's right,
and Grease too.
She was great in that. Oh my gosh,
Principal.
She was
McGee.
Principal McGee. That's right. What a great movie. John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John.
I saw the original production of that on Lincoln Avenue.
Wow.
At the Kingston Mines Theater. It was different, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I first saw that movie and she came out with those leather pants on. I heard that they had to, like, literally sew them on her. They were so tight. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
we'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
We'll leave it right there. All right.
We won't get into talking about Barbara Eden.
No, Barbara Eden.
That's an altogether
different
Wayne
level. And my favorite of all time, Barbara Eden. But Eve Arden stars now in this New Year's Eve 1950s show, and they're exchanging their Christmas presents. A lot of fun. Uninterrupted, 30 minutes. Here's our Miss Brooks.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. And Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, under the direction of Al Lewis. Well, the schools have been closed during the Christmas vacation. And our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, has spent hers quite enjoyably.
Yes, indeed. During the days preceding Christmas, there was the thrill of wondering what kind of gifts I'd receive. Then in the days following, there's been the thrill of wondering what I'd get in exchange for the Christmas gifts I received. By last Thursday, though, I had made up my mind and paid a visit to the exchange counter of Sherry's department store. Pardon me, are you in charge here?
Yes, ma'am. Dale is the name. Rex Dale. And who might you be?
I might be Mrs. Boynton if I keep my New Year's resolution. Right now, the name is Constance Brooks. Several of my friends have purchased gifts here that I'd like to exchange.
I see.
First of all, there's the plastic monstrosity in this box.
That doesn't seem quite the way to talk about a gift from a friend, Miss Brooks.
This happens to have been presented to me by my principal, Mr. Conklin. And believe me, it's terrifying.
No Christmas present freely given should be referred to as terrifying.
Here, I'll open the box for you. There.
Ah! What in the world is it?
It's a figure of Atlas carrying a globe. Only the globe is built in the shape of a round house, which tells the changes in the weather by a small man and woman who pop out of their respective doors when you least expect them.
But what's this on the back of the figure? He seems to have a red spine.
That's a thermometer. And dangling from the thermometer is a small alarm clock.
Oh, now I recall this item. It must be quite popular. The gentleman who bought it ordered 6 of them. He said it was given to several members of the faculty. Well, there must be some place you could use it.
Mr. Dale, this sort of thing was old-fashioned when Grandma was a girl. Where could it possibly fit in a modern home?
Well, let's see. Do you have a fireplace in your living room?
Yes, and I thought of the fireplace myself, but plastic doesn't burn very well.
I was thinking of the mantelpiece. Couldn't you put it up there?
I tried that, too, but my landlady keeps a canary in a cage on the mantelpiece.
Well, isn't there room for them both?
Yes, but I don't believe in being cruel to our feathered friends. First time I put this thing next to the cage, the canary took one look at it and fell headfirst into his bird bath. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to exchange this for some lingerie.
Well, if you insist, Miss Brooks, I'll give you this credit slip. Just show it to the clerk in the lingerie department.
Oh, before you make it out, there's something else, Mr. Dale. These earrings were purchased here, too.
Well, what's wrong with them?
They're a trifle too ornate for me.
Oh, nonsense. They're beautiful. Just look at the workmanship in those exquisite brass crowbars.
I'm afraid they're a little too heavy for me, Mr. Dale.
Heavy? Well, let me heft them.
All right, I'll put one on the counter. Here.
Oop. Yes, they are a bit substantial, aren't they?
Substantial? They pull my ears down so far, I look like a cocker spaniel. I'll just get a nice manicure set instead.
Very well, Miss Brooks. Anything else?
Not much. I'd like to exchange this pen and pencil set for some stockings and these slippers for a handbag.
Miss Brooks, wasn't there anything you received for Christmas that pleased you?
Oh, yes, Mr. Dale. I have a blue and white scarf that I'm just delighted with.
And who bought that for you?
I did. Now, if you'll give me those other exchange slips, I'll get the rest of my unshopping done. I don't like to rush you, but Walter Denton, a student of mine, has offered to pick me up in his car in a few minutes.
Well, I wouldn't bank on it, Miss Brooks.
What do you mean?
If he's a student of yours, he's probably exchanged his car for a pogo stick.
It was nice of you to interrupt your holiday to give me this lift, Walter.
For you, Miss Brooks, my Yuletide spirit knows no bounds.
What kind of Yuletide did you have, Walter?
Oh, magnificent, Miss Brooks. Oh, you should have seen my house. The spirit of giving was rampant. The gifts for everybody all over the place.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. The Horn of Plenty was really loaded this Christmas.
Well, you can't blame your father for relaxing on a holiday. There were lots of presents. What did you get, Walter?
Oh, I got some lovely gifts, Miss Brooks. Didn't you notice anything different about this car when you got in?
Let's see. The four fenders are still missing. Hood is still off the motor. Windshield hasn't been replaced yet.
Yeah, go on. Something new has definitely been added.
The convertible top is still absent. There's only half of a rear-view mirror, and the glass is out of both doors. I can't figure it out, Walter. What's been added?
Nylon seat covers.
Just what this car needed. Who gave them to you?
Both my mother and father.
Together?
Yeah, my father gave me a sweater, and my mother gave me a muffler, and I exchanged them.
Dale was right, like teacher, like pupil. What did Harriet Conklin give you?
Oh, do you like this plaid sport shirt I've got on?
Yes, it's very attractive. Did Harriet get you that?
No, but her keychain and 90 cents did. Well, here we are at your place, Miss Brooks. Safe and...
Sound?
And before you get out, Miss Brooks, would you mind telling me what Mr. Boynton got you for Christmas? I know Harriet was egging him on to get you something real personal and feminine.
Oh, he almost got me something extremely personal, but I stopped him in time.
Oh, what was he going to get?
A stapler. He finally settled for a pair of very clever earrings shaped like crowbars, but just between us, I exchanged them for a manicure set.
But why? What was wrong with the earrings?
I couldn't get them on without a stapler.
Well, Connie, did you get all your exchanging done?
Yes, Mrs. Davis, I got some wonderful things.
Good. I'm glad to see you looking so chipper. You seemed pretty blue last night when Mr. Boynton broke a date with you.
He couldn't help it, Mrs. Davis. He had to attend a meeting of the biology club. Besides, I enjoyed the movie I saw very much.
What did you see, Connie?
Born Yesterday, with Judy Holliday, Broad Crawford, and Bill Holden.
Well, if they were all there, you couldn't have missed Mr. Boynton too much. Before I forget, Connie, Mr. Conklin called twice while you were out.
Mr. Conklin? What did he want?
I'm not sure, Connie, but it's about some kind of a report or something. He wants you to help him with it.
But this is my vacation. If he calls again, please tell him I'm out.
Oh, I'm afraid you'll have to tell him yourself, dear. I'm going out in the garden. One of our crawling vines has tripped over the garage door.
Well, I won't be home very long anyway. Maybe he won't... Then again, maybe he will.
Hello, Mrs. Davis. This is Osgood Conklin again. Has Miss Brooks come in yet?
Miss Brooks? There is no Miss Brooks here.
This is Maine 2496, isn't it?
Oui, this is the French and Laundry. Fifi speaking.
Fifi?
The girl in charge of the mangle. Who are you look for, monsieur?
I'm looking for a school teacher named Constance Brooks.
A school teacher? Ooh la la, have you got the wrong number? Well, that's a reprieve for a while. Mrs. Davis? Mrs. Davis? Mrs. Davis? Oh, dear, she's out and back. Hello?
Hello?
This is the One Question for 1,000 program. We're trying to contact Miss Constance Brooks.
What?
If Miss Constance Brooks can answer one simple question, we have $1,000 in cold, hard cash waiting to be sent to her.
$1,000? This is Miss Brooks.
Are you absolutely certain you are Miss Brooks?
Of course. What's the question?
The question is, how could you and the French hand laundry have switched phone numbers so quickly?
Hello?
Get away from that mangle, Fifi. Or I'll really take the starch out of your sail.
Hello? Isn't this Mr. Conklin? I guess you must have gotten our party line, sir.
All right, Miss Brooks. We'll forget your little impractical joke. The reason I called is to thank you for your Christmas gift to me.
Oh, it was just a little remembrance, Mr. Conklin.
You couldn't have chosen a more perfect reminder, Miss Brooks. Two big, heavy bookends. They just seem to sense that we haven't had any personal contact since Christmas. And yesterday, as if by magic, one of them toppled off the table and landed on my foot. It was like old time.
I'm sorry, Mr. Conklin. If you'd rather have something else, I could...
I wouldn't part with those bookends if they eat up half my salary in Band-Aids. See, Miss Brooks, in spite of your raffish and undisciplined displays of wit, I feel that you, like myself, are basically a sentimental person. When I receive a present, I feel it's a token of someone's affection, and I wouldn't dream of exchanging it for anything else. I presume you feel the same way?
Hello? I mean, certainly, Mr. Conklin.
By the way, Miss Brooks, how did you like my gift to you?
Oh, stunning, Mr. Conklin.
Then, you know, for the longest time, I couldn't decide whether to buy something ornamental or utilitarian. Then I saw that figure of Atlas.
And you gave up both ideas. You combined both ideas.
Yes, that's about it. Did you find the right spot for it, Miss Brooks?
Perfect, Mr. Conklin. I'm keeping it right on the mantelpiece here in our living room. Quiet, Dickie. I'm just kidding.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, Miss Brooks. I'll be able to kill two birds with one stone then when you assist me with my report to the Parent Teachers Association.
But, Mr. Conklin, this is my vacation.
It's mine too, Miss Brooks, but this is for the first important meeting of the new year. So I'll be over to your place in about an hour, at which time I can see how effective my atlas looks in your living room.
But, Mr. Conklin, you can't come here. The house is a mess. Mrs. Davis is in the midst of her spring cleaning.
Spring cleaning? But this is the middle of the winter.
I know, but she likes to give herself plenty of time. If you don't believe she's doing her spring cleaning, you can ask her yourself, Mr. Conklin. Mrs. Davis! Yoo-hoo, Mrs. Davis! Sorry, sir, she must be out in the kitchen dyeing Easter eggs.
Well, tell her to save me a pink one. I'll be there in an hour.
Oh, no. This is a fine spot to be in.
Did you call me, Connie?
It's too late now, Mrs. Davis.
Too late for what?
For me to get down to Sherry's and get Mr. Conklin's present back. He's coming over here in an hour to give me some dictation, and he expects to see it on the mantelpiece.
Oh, forgive my absent mind, Connie, but there were so many gadgets here around this Christmas that I just don't remember Mr. Conklin's gift. What was it?
A plastic figure of Atlas with a big globe on his head that tells the weather, and a thermometer spine, and also an alarm clock.
Well, where in the world is the alarm clock?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Brush your teeth with Colgate. Colgate Dental Cream. It cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
What a cleans your teeth.
Colgate toothpaste.
Cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
What a cleans your teeth.
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. And the Colgate way stops tooth decay best.
Yes, the Colgate way is the most thoroughly proved and accepted home method of oral hygiene known today. Over 2 years research showed brushing teeth right after eating with Colgate Dental Cream helped stop more decay for more people than ever before reported in dentifrice history. the Colgate way stopped tooth decay best.
No other dentifrice, ammoniated or not, offers such conclusive proof. And you should know that Colgate's, while not mentioned by name, was the only toothpaste used in the research on tooth decay recently reported in Reader's Digest.
So always follow the Colgate way to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and stop tooth decay best.
Brush your teeth with Colgate's Colgate Dental Cream. It cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
While it cleans your teeth.
And the Colgate way stops tooth decay best.
Well, when I had calmed down a bit, I realized that Mr. Conklin had perpetrated his Atlas clock on several other members of the faculty. So the only question was, from whom to borrow one? Then Mrs. Davis reminded me that Mr. Boynton had received one, and there was no more question. I had never seen Mr. Boynton's new apartment, and this seemed like as good a time as any.
Be right there.
Well, Miss Brooks, this is a surprise. Come on in.
Thanks, Mr. Boynton.
Here, let me take your coat.
All right. So this is your new apartment. May I look around?
Go right ahead.
Aren't you coming with me?
Well, you don't have to go anywhere. This is all there is to it. And please don't mind the appearance of the place. After all, what can you do with a bachelor?
There must be a non-censorable answer to that. Don't you find this place a bit confining for a big, husky, broad-shouldered, dashing, vital... I forgot what I started to say.
You were wondering if I found this apartment confining. Actually, I don't, Miss Brooks. I don't spend very much time in it, but when I'm here, I rather like the compactness of it. Of course, it's different with a girl. I don't suppose you'd care for a tight squeeze.
Try me. Place certainly wouldn't be any problem to keep clean.
I'm afraid I don't pay any attention to that end of it.
All you'd have to do is wrap yourself in a damp towel, get in the center of the room, and spin around a little.
Well, it may be small, but this place has all the facilities of a larger apartment. Did you know that I have a two-burner electric stove in here?
Really? Where?
I keep it in my bread box.
Oh, in the kitchen.
No, there's no kitchen. I just keep the bread box in the refrigerator.
I give up. Where's the refrigerator?
In the closet. Just open that door on your left.
All right. I still don't see the refrigerator.
Your coat's draped over it. Well, now that you're here, Miss Brooks, how would you like to stay to lunch?
No, thanks, Mr. Boynton. I wouldn't want you to have to unwrap your kitchen just for me. Besides, I've got to be getting back to my place before Mr. Conklin comes to work with me. That's the real reason I dropped over, Mr. Boynton, to borrow the atlas Mr. Conklin gave you.
What did you do with the one he gave you?
I exchanged it for some lingerie.
So did I.
What color? What am I going to do? He expects to see that atlas prominently displayed on my mantelpiece.
Well, why don't you phone Mr. Conklin and tell him you went out without your keys and Mrs. Davis has left the house, too?
I could do that. Then he'd probably suggest that I come over to his place. That wouldn't be so bad.
Well, I don't have my phone in yet, Miss Brooks, but right on the corner there's a gas station or a candy store you can call from.
I'll use the gas station. I'm on a little bit of a diet.
Oh, before you go, Miss Brooks... I haven't seen you wear the earrings I got you for Christmas as yet. You will put them on for New Year's Eve, won't you?
New Year's Eve?
Well, yes. I've gotten hold of an extra ticket to the biology club dance. I took it for granted that you'd tag along.
Then you can take it for granted that the earrings will drag along with me. And while we're on the subject of presents, you don't seem to be wearing the cufflinks I gave you.
The cufflinks... Oh, well, I'm saving those for New Year's Eve, too. Yes, sir. Well, you better run along now and phone Mr. Conklin. I guess we won't be seeing each other again until our date Sunday night.
Oh, we'll see each other before that.
When?
It all depends on what time we both arrive to exchange our exchanges at the exchange counter. On over to your place, Mr. Conklin.
Well, if you've lost your keys and Mrs. Davis is out, I suppose it's the only thing you can do, Miss Brooks. But my wife is having some folks in tonight, so we'll have to finish up at your place after dinner.
Yes, sir. That'll give me plenty of time.
That is, I'll see you soon, Mr. Conklin. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Harriet. Oh, Harriet.
Here I am, Daddy. What can I do for you?
Do you know what's been done with those two monstrosities that Miss Brooks gave me for Christmas?
You mean those two cute bookends?
Yes, those cute bookends. Two green midgets with purple beards shoving their shoulders against yellow wheels. Last time I saw them, your mother was cracking walnuts with them.
Gosh, Daddy, Mother told me she exchanged them for a vase.
What? But Miss Brooks is coming over here to work. She'll expect to see those twin nightmares on my desk. Well, there's only one thing I'll do. I'll run down to Sherry's and try to get them back before she comes.
It was just wonderful of you to drive me down here again, Walter. I've got to get back the atlas and Mr. Boynton's earrings at once.
Oh, that's okay, Miss Brooks. I've got to get back the keychain Harriet gave me.
Oh, did she ask you about it?
Yeah. She said she expected me to wear it on New Year's Eve. Gosh, I wished I'd had my wits about me. I'd have asked her why she wasn't wearing the pearls I gave her.
You gave Harriet pearls, Walter?
Certainly not. But I know she's exchanged so many gifts it would have thrown a good scare into her.
Well, it's too bad about the keychain, Walter. The shirt you exchanged it for looked lovely on you.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? Oh, the thought of exchanging it distresses me deeply. I guess I'm just a sentimentalist at heart, Miss Brooks.
A sentimentalist?
Yes. When a person near and dear to me gives me a present, I hate to exchange it more than once. Well, here's the counter.
How do you do, Mr. Dale? Remember me?
Now, don't tell me. Let's see. Oh, of course, you were the lovely lady who almost gave me a nervous breakdown this morning.
And remember me?
Certainly. You gave me a nervous breakdown yesterday. Oh, look, you two aren't going to start all over again, are you?
No, Mr. Dale, this time it's going to be very simple.
Oh, good.
I'd like to turn in some lingerie and get back my atlas.
But this morning you were practically livid about the...
That was this morning. Then I'd like to turn in my manicure set and get back my earrings.
Yeah, and I'd like to turn in my sport shirt and get back my keychain.
I have a dispatch for you both. I'd like to turn in this job and get back my sanity. I'll make out your exchange slips in just a moment. But first, Miss Brooks, you've got to do me a small favor.
What is it?
Just stand behind this counter for one moment while I go out for a smoke. I'm beginning to feel my nerves nibbling at the base of my skull like mice.
Oh, but Mr. Dale,
there won't be too many customers at this time of day, but if anyone does come over, just be courteous. By that, I mean, be sure to say please when you ask them to drop dead.
Oh, he'll never make a good exchange clerk. Too sensitive. Well, while we're waiting for him, I'm going to look at some sports equipment over in the next aisle.
But you can't leave me behind this counter all alone, Walter.
Why not? It might open up a whole new career to you. Especially if you don't get Mr. Conklin's atlas back in time.
Now listen, Walter, say...
See you later, Miss Brooks. And don't forget to say please.
Oh, dandy. This is turning out to be some vacation.
Oh, pardon me, miss, but I'd like to swap this penknife for Miss Brooks.
You can't have Miss Brooks with that penknife.
What in the...
Mr. Boynton.
Well, I was just going to say blazes.
Oh, then go right ahead.
What in the blazes are you doing behind this counter?
I'm just pinch-hitting for a busy friend.
A busy friend?
Yes, he's brushing some mice off the base of his skull. Is there something I can do for you, Mr. Boynton?
Well, there was something I wanted to exchange for something else, but I'll wait until the regular clerk comes back.
But he may never come back. The mice may brush him off. Why don't you tell me what it is you want to exchange?
Well, no, I couldn't, Miss Brooks. It's rather personal.
Pardon me, young man. Pardon me. Miss, I'd like to swap this vase for Miss Brooks.
You can't have Miss Brooks for that vase. Not even if you threw in a penknife.
But what in the...
blazes am I doing behind this counter?
Exactly. And you, Boynton, what are you doing here?
Well, I have something I'd like to exchange, Mr. Conklin.
A deplorable practice, exchanging gifts. Shows an abysmal lack of consideration for those who presented them to you.
What are you doing here, Mr. Conklin?
For me? I've just been doing some last-minute shopping. I've never been near this exchange counter since Sherry's opened its doors to the public.
Well, me either, but today I...
Well, Miss Brooks, I feel a little better now. Thanks for... Well, what do you know? It's a Madison High reunion.
Then you know these gentlemen, Mr. Dale.
Know them. Since Christmas, we've been practically living together.
I see.
see.
This chunky boy with the malignant mustache has been back about 9 times.
Quiet, Dale, quiet.
But, Mr. Conklin, I thought you didn't believe in exchanging gifts.
I don't, Miss Brooks. It's just that, well, I was down here with my wife a couple of times. A
couple of times? He was here so often I thought he was trying to turn her in.
That's a hot one. Well, I'll be running along now. I've got...
One moment, Mr. Boynton. Mr. Dale, has this tall gentleman been down here, too?
Has he? He's the most insidious type of all.
Insidious?
He's the sort who expects the Brooklyn Bridge in return for a pair of cufflinks.
So, Mr. Boynton, you did exchange the cufflinks I gave you.
Well, what are you complaining about? You turned in the atlas he gave you, didn't you?
That was the atlas I gave you, Miss Brooks. How could you do it?
I hate to see a canary bird with a limp.
Anyway, you're a fine one to talk mustache. You turned in the desk lamp she gave you.
Desk lamp? Well, that's what I gave you, Mr. Conklin.
Well, what about those earrings that pulled down your ears, Miss Brooks?
And more important than any of this, what about getting out that report of mine to the Parent Teachers Association?
You're right, Mr. Conklin. I'll settle this matter of gifts once and for all, Mr. Dale. I'm going to turn in everything I've received this Christmas for just 2 presents for these gentlemen.
2 presents?
Yes. Give Mr. Boynton a Cocker Spaniel and Mr. Conklin a workhorse.
Arden returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight? Yes, tonight. Show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Luster cream, world's finest shampoo. No other shampoo in the world gives you Kay Dumit's magic blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Better than a soap. Better than a liquid, Luster Cream is a dainty cream shampoo. Leaves hair 3 ways lovelier. Fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen, soft, manageable. Tonight? Yes, tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo.
Dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream shampoo.
And here's a New Year's greeting card to each and every one of you in 51, a year of love, happiness, contentment, and joy from the makers of Luster Cream shampoo. And now, once again, here is Eve Arden.
Freedom is everybody's job. That's why all of us must work to keep our individual rights and freedoms by voting in an informed way, serving willingly on juries and public committees, and taking an interest in the development of our community, state, and country. That way we can all make 1951 a year that will prove the strength and success of democracy. And now, on behalf of my sponsor, the Colgate Palmolive Peat Company, and myself, a very happy New Year to all of you. Good night.
This is Vern Smith reminding you to tune in next week to another Our Miss Brooks show, brought to you by Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair, and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written by Al Lewis and Arthur Alsberg, with the music of Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Boynton is played by Jeff Chandler, Mr. Conklin by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Gloria McMillan, and Joseph Kearns. If you like mysteries that are as full of chuckles as chills, be sure to hear Mr. and Mrs. North every Tuesday over this same network. Don't miss the exciting and laughable adventures of these amateur detectives. Hear Mr. and Mrs. North every Tuesday night. And be with us again next week at this same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. Stay tuned now for Jack Benny. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That was a lot of fun, right?
Jack, the announcer there at the end, he's gassing it. Some of these guys had to throw a log on the fire because, you know, we're running late, folks, so
yeah,
good night.
Yeah, right. They couldn't say it. But, yeah, Bob Lamond doing the announcing there, saying Jack Benny's up next. We don't have a Jack Benny up next, but we have a Father Knows Best coming your way.
We do.
And that particular episode of Our Miss Brooks, December 31st, so New Year's Eve, 1950, and Eve Arden.
Through the magic of radio and planning and programming, we're actually going back not only in time to December 31st, but we will go back a couple days earlier.
That's right, the 28th.
Wow.
December 28th, 1950. Yeah, all of these shows are New Year's shows, and that's what we're playing for you. I have Wayne Messmer is my co-host all the way till 3 o'clock in the morning. What an honor it is, sir, to sit across the this great radio station's control board and see your handsome face. It's very, very cool.
Wow.
Because we used to talk on the phone a lot.
We did.
And now we're here co-hosting the WGN Radio Theater.
Yeah, and thanks for the invite.
Oh,
it's,
man.
It's fun.
You know,
for
accepting.
It gives me a chance to have my comments that I usually make to the radio on the radio.
Yes, absolutely. And if you want to get in touch with Wayne Messmer and check out his website, there's all kinds of great information there. It's WayneMessmer.com. That's easy enough.
Go figure.
WayneMessmer.com. Check it out, folks. Check out his website. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. You know, that rhymes, and he's a poet and didn't even know it.
How do you mean that?
He said, drive sober or you'll get pulled over.
Oh, man, let's set that to music, man.
Well, we can have that song on your jazz show.
We could. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
like that.
Wouldn't. But,
drive sober or get pulled over, baby.
Yeah, with like Herbie Mann playing
like
in the background.
Right. I can hear it now.
Yeah, finger popping, yeah.
So make sure you
groovy.
Listen to Wayne's radio show
it's
Sunday night.
Too, yeah. Sunday night at 7.
7 on WDCB 90.9, 7 p.m. Good jazz show. He invites you into Wayne's lounge.
My radio lounge.
The radio lounge.
And since we are on the hot stick WGN, going pert near everywhere, you can catch it on online to streaming at WDCB.org.
There you go.
O-R-G.
Now, when it's streaming, it's at that time, so it's 7 p.m.
Correct.
Central
Chicago
time.
Yeah.
Very cool. And you could check out all the things Wayne's up to at WayneMessmer.com. That is his website. And he is a big fan of these classic radio shows. One of the first persons I knew that was into these classic radio shows. I wasn't the only person. You know, it's kind of, when I got into it, I'm like, is there anybody else out there that likes these shows? And I happened to tune into 105.9.
That's right.
105.9.
Weird attracts weird. But, you know, the thing that was so great is because I inherited the show. There was a guy, Jack Cripe, you mentioned
That's
his
right.
name. And he left. I think he was brokering the time and ran out of money. So. So the owner came to me. Oh, you think you're doing it? Because I had been engineering show and doing the news breaks, and I was sitting at the board. I said, well, you know, if Jack doesn't show up, I know what's going on. I know the shows, and I've learned a lot about them.
Right.
So, you know, say yes. Because at least you give yourself a chance to succeed.
Well, and you were on for like 3 years, right?
Yeah, 3 years of 15 hours a week, so 6 to 9 a.m.
Think about that. Three hours a morning, every morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was up with you listening every morning, Wayne.
I appreciate that.
You're eating your
Wheaties.
I was eating my Wheaties. I was probably in my pajamas.
Did you wear Buster Brown shoes?
I did. When we come back with Wayne, we will have Father Knows Best, so stick around. Thanks for staying up late with us. Hour 5 now of the WGN Radio Theater. My co-host tonight, Wayne Messmer.
What a delight.
It has been a delight.
To this point.
Yeah, it's been a blast. We've been playing some New Year's shows. And as I've said all along, Wayne is a big fan of these classic radio shows. He has a big collection himself, and he's quite familiar with all these shows. When I sent you the list of the shows, you're like, oh, I know all these shows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know this stuff?
Know all these shows.
You know, we know Father Knows Best, or yeah. That, Our Miss Brooks. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on.
I remember watching Father Knows Best on television.
Yeah.
When they were color, but there were also a lot of black and white ones. I think it was black and white and color. Maybe they were colorized. I don't remember. But I, of course, watched them on antenna TV all the time.
Right.
And but people remember this show primarily as a TV program. But as you had said earlier, it was a radio show. It was a little different.
It was. He, you know, Jim Anderson kind of had a little rash or something. going during the radio run.
That's a great analogy.
He got much softer, you know, when he's dealing with all Betty and Bud. And
he kitten. Always seemed like he was sitting on a nail or something like that, right?
In the radio.
Yeah, on the radio show.
The TV
was never a happy camper.
No. And a little smarmy at times.
Smarmy, yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll hear a smarmy Robert Young in just a few minutes. But it made a transition and was super popular on TV. Big time television show. Yeah. That's coming your way. Before that, we're going to play our game. Guess that song. And it's from 1975. We'll have two songs for you. Wayne will be your lifeline. Call now, 312-981-7200. You will win a 4-CD set of the Twilight Zone radio dramas, with Stacy Keach as your host. And you can call now, 312-981-7200. Let's do caller 3. Call now, and we'll play the game right after these words.
Guess that song.
We are going to guess that song.
Yeah, I know what that means.
Yeah, and you know who our guest is?
I think I'm going to spell it backwards, Bob.
Yes, you're exactly right. Bob from New Lenox. What's up, Bob? How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Is it morning already?
Yes, it is. Bob, you're on with Wayne Messmer. And
I remember him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he remembers used to be you. Somebody. How are you, Bob?
You're hanging in there?
All right. So you know your 1975 music, I hope, Bob?
Somewhat, yeah.
Well, you have a very good lifeline here. So let's listen to song number one.
Dance With Me, but I don't remember who
did it. He's got it. Dance With Me, it's the Orleans, right?
Oh, Orleans.
Right, Wayne?
I knew the song, though.
No, you jumped right in there. You know, what's funny is that you knew at least the name of the song. Most all of our other contestants tonight knew neither.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, these are tough songs.
This one was a good one, though.
Yeah, let's play a little more of it. Yeah, that's
good
a song.
Bass, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good song right there. Oh, yeah, brings back some fond memories. All right, here's song number two. She keeps him away, Shonda, in a pretty... All right. What do you think?
The group is not a kid.
What?
And, yeah, that's right, that's in there.
China.
He's working it out. He's working it out.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you think? Well, who's the band? You should know the band.
Who does the king marry?
That's from Queen. Yeah, it's not
Queen.
Rhapsody.
That's right. It's not Rhapsody.
No, I know.
All right, a little more of it here. Killer Queen.
Oh, man.
Wow, Bob, you did good.
Oh, man, I know I sing the song, but I don't remember the name.
Well, you did great, and you're...
Blue Moon.
Yeah, hey, Blue Moon. Yeah. You are a big winner. You win some Twilight Zone radio drama CD. Sound good, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot. All right, buddy. I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Have a great night. Continue listening. We have Father Knows Best coming up, okay?
Sure.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Bob.
What if he said no?
He's got to say yes.
Oh, okay.
We're only on for another 45 minutes.
Oh.
All right, well, we have a half-hour episode now for you of Father
Crabby.
Knows Best.
Crabby.
Crabby
Father Knows,
Father Knows Best.
Yeah.
Yes, December 28th, 1950, Party Preparations. Here is an episode uninterrupted now of Father Knows Best.
Mother, is Maxwell House really the only coffee in the world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons. Brought to you by America's favorite coffee, Maxwell House. The coffee that's always good to the last drop. As far back as I can remember, I've been hearing about people who were poor as Job's turkey. Well, the chances are that poor old Job never had a turkey, but he did have troubles. And that's where the average father comes in. So let's go to Springfield to a white frame house on Maple Street and an average father named Anderson. Because when it comes to trouble, Jim Anderson takes a back seat to no one. Like this.
Margaret, I'm home.
We're in the kitchen, dear.
I'll be right in. Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home.
Daddy!
Hiya, kitten. Well, how are all the little Andersons tonight?
Hi, Father.
Hello, Dad.
Hello, dear.
Strawberry.
I don't care if he didn't do it on purpose. He had no right to break his leg.
What?
I turned down a dozen dates just to go out with him, and now look at me.
Norman McHugh had a skiing accident and broke his leg.
Who's Norman McHugh?
He's Claudia McHugh's brother.
Thank you very much. Who's Claudia McHugh?
She's a girl.
Oh, well, that explains everything.
You're welcome.
Betty, it isn't the worst thing that's ever happened.
It certainly is. My whole life is ruined.
Because Norman McHugh broke his leg?
He was supposed to take her to a New Year's Eve dance.
Oh.
It's the biggest dance of the whole year, and...
Every dance you ever go to is the biggest dance of the whole year. Don't you ever go to any small dances?
Every girl in Springfield will be there, except me.
I won't be there.
Why don't you go with somebody else?
And I'm a girl. Don't you think I'd like to? But everybody else has a date.
I'll go with Bud.
Father!
Holy cow.
Jim, we've just been all through this. Betty doesn't want to go with Bud.
And I don't want to go with her.
I'll go with anybody.
Jim.
Now look, Margaret, between rushing around for Christmas...
Why, couldn't he have broken his leg next week?
Betty, I was speaking to your mother.
I would have to pick the one boy in Springfield.
Betty!
I don't know what's gotten into this family. When I was a boy and my father was speaking to my mother, I showed him some respect.
Mom.
I didn't go on talking as though nothing had happened. I wouldn't have had the nerve.
Mom.
But this family, all I have to do is open my mouth and it's a signal for the start of a general conversation.
Mom.
Bud, please be quiet.
But I want to tell you.
Bud.
But if I...
You'll wait until I'm finished. Is that understood?
Yes, Dad.
All right. What was I saying?
We have to shut up.
Well, see that you do. Have I made myself clear? Betty?
Yes, Father.
Good. Now, what is it, Bud?
Something on the stove is burning.
What?
Well, I was trying to tell you.
My cream turkey is ruined.
I thought something smelled funny.
Oh, what are we going to do, Jim? That was the last bit of turkey in the house.
Oh, frankly, Margaret, I'm just as happy.
Why, Jim?
We haven't eaten anything but turkey since Christmas, and I've had just about all I can stand.
Jim Anderson.
Cream turkey, cold turkey.
Turkey hash.
Turkey croquettes.
I was under the impression that this family liked turkey.
We do.
But there's a limit to everything.
Last night I gobbled.
That will be quite enough, Kathleen.
Gee whiz.
Honey, I don't want you to think that it's your fault.
I never said it was. And I certainly wasn't going to throw out perfectly good turkey.
Well, let's not argue about it. It's gone and... Well, what are you waiting for, Bud?
What?
The doorbell rang.
That was the back door.
Well?
It is my job to answer the back door.
Go ahead, Kathy. Gee whiz, why don't we take turns? I'm getting tired of the back door.
I told you in the very beginning a 12-pound turkey would have been quite enough.
Margaret.
But no, we had to have a 20-pound turkey. You were hungry.
Margaret, if you don't mind, I'd just as soon forget the whole thing.
Hiya, Jim.
Oh, hello, Heck. Come on in.
Hello, Margaret.
Hello,
Betty.
Bud.
How's Elizabeth, Heck?
Oh, pretty good. Jim, so help me, you're the luckiest guy I've known in my life.
What'd I do now?
You could fall into a well and come up with a diamond necklace or a string of pearls or...
Hector.
Margaret, you don't know what this guy did. 10 cents, that's all he gave me, just one little dime.
Heck, what on earth are you talking about?
The chance you took.
Oh, no.
Buys one measly little chance...
Heck, please.
And then he wins the turkey.
Jim.
Margaret, I had no idea I was going to win. I just happened to have a dime, and it was Heck's club, and he said...
Well, what's the matter? Aren't you glad?
Oh, sure. But you see, we were just going through a little thing here.
Hector, how large is the turkey?
35 pounds. Hey, you want to bring him in, Ed?
Okay, Heck.
Is that Ed Davis?
Yeah, I was having a little trouble getting it out of the car, and Ed just happened to come by.
Bobby,
so...
isn't it wonderful?
Hiya, Jim. Easy, boy.
Jim,
easy.
It's alive.
Jumping, Jehoshaphat.
Mother.
Boy, is that a big one.
Hang on to him, Ed.
Easy, boy. Easy, boy. Take it easy, you rattle-brained nincompoop.
Mr. Davis, you're hurting him.
I'm hurting him. After he dragged me halfway up the driveway?
Gosh, look at those feathers.
Margaret.
Isn't he beautiful? Mother, he's looking at me.
Margaret.
The club got him from a farm up near Plainville, and the man said
Margaret,
that
Margaret, will you please say something?
I will, later.
Heck, look, if it's all the same
to
you...
I gotta be running along. Take the rope, will you, Bud?
I don't know if my father...
Come on, Bud. I'm going to be late for dinner as it is.
Dad?
Go ahead, Bud. Take it.
Easy, fella. Nice boy.
His name is Irene.
Nice, I mean...
Since when do they give names to turkeys?
Well, the farmer said his kids made a pet out of this one. That's why we got it cheap. They wouldn't let him kill it.
I'll help you, Bud. Nice, Irene. Pretty boy. Nice boy. Attaboy.
Sensitive little thing, isn't it?
Well, I better get out or I'll be here all night. Congratulations, Jim. See you later, Mark.
Bye, Ed.
Wait a second, Ed. So long, folks. Save me a piece of the white meat.
Margaret.
Well.
Now, wait a minute, honey. I didn't do anything wrong. All I did was win a turkey. It wasn't my fault.
Jim, when I think of the fuss you were making about turkey...
I wasn't making a fuss.
Turkey hash, turkey croquettes, turkey a la king.
Oh, Margaret, please.
Daddy, look, he shakes hands. Isn't that wonderful?
Jim, that is the biggest turkey I have ever seen. It'll take us weeks.
Nobody said we had to keep it. We'll sell it or give it away. Or we can... Say...
Why don't we keep it till next Thanksgiving?
I know what we can do. It'll take care of Betty and everybody else. We'll have a party.
Father! Jim, we're just getting over Christmas.
A New Year's Eve party, that's what we'll have. And it won't cost us a cent.
Oh, Father, you're wonderful!
Boy, that is an idea.
Why don't we keep it till next Thanksgiving?
We can invite everybody we know, repay all our social obligations. And there won't be a bit of turkey left over.
Jim, it isn't a question of how much turkey we'll have left over.
Honey, it won't be a bit of trouble, I promise you. We'll all pitch in and help, won't we, kids?
I think it's a wonderful idea, Father.
Is it all right if I invite Joe?
How about it, Margaret?
Why don't we just keep it till next Thanksgiving?
Margaret.
Well, if everybody thinks we should.
Oh, Mother, you're an angel.
Get a few pickles and things. All right, Bud, put him away somewhere.
What?
The turkey. You're not going to stand there and hold him all night, are you?
I don't know.
What do we do with him, Jim?
Well, in the morning, I'll take him down to the butcher.
I'll wear my new blue dress and my silver shoes.
In the meantime, put Irene out in the garage.
Me?
Anybody. I don't care.
Come on, boy.
Daddy, you can't. He'll freeze.
Well, he certainly can't park in here all night.
Well, he can sleep in my room.
He cannot.
It's as much my room as it is yours.
Mother.
Of course he can't sleep up there, Kathy.
Why?
Because he'd be uncomfortable sleeping with girls.
Oh.
Take him out in the garage, Bud.
Okay.
Oh, Bud, wait. He will freeze, Jim, and we can't be cruel.
Well, he certainly can't stay in the house, can he?
Well, how about the playroom?
All right. Go ahead, Bud. Take him downstairs.
Come on, Irene.
Daddy, I have a wonderful idea.
Yes?
Why don't we keep him till next New Year's?
Now, there's a girl who can come up with some wonderful ideas. Of course, where ideas are concerned, give Father a little credit, too. Yes, sir, the man of the house knows most about lots of things. For one thing, ladies, when it comes to knowing about coffee, truly good coffee you enjoy cup after cup, the world's greatest expert is that man of yours. Yes, the number one expert is your husband. Of course, to the coffee trade, we're experts, too. They know more people enjoy our Maxwell House coffee than any other brand. But when you brew the coffee and fill the cups, the expert you aim to please, he's your husband. And tomorrow, if you'll fill his cup with Maxwell House, we're sure he'll say,
"Now that's real coffee. Best I ever tasted."
In fact, if he doesn't, we'll give you back your money. We're that sure. We know there's no coffee tastes like Maxwell House because no coffee's made like Maxwell House. You see, there's only one recipe anywhere for that famous good-to-the-last-drop flavor. A recipe demanding certain fine coffees blended just so. And only Maxwell House has that recipe. Knowing this, won't you get Maxwell House coffee tomorrow? Serve it to your husband. If he doesn't say, "Best coffee ever," just send us the can, an unused portion, and we'll gladly refund the price you paid. Our address is right on every familiar blue tin. Tomorrow and through the new year, serve coffee that'll please the world's greatest coffee expert. Serve your husband Maxwell House coffee. Always good to the last drop.
Shortly before the turn of the century, a poet named Leland wrote a series of verses titled Frost Pictures. In stanza 4, he said, and we quote, "A New Year's gift to the world," said the frost, "rich lace curtains that nothing cost." Some 50 years later, a non-poetic father named Anderson said, and we quote,
"It's an outrage, that's what it is, an outrage."
But, Jim, you told Mr. Campbell...
$7.30 for nuts? I told him I wanted a few little nuts, that's what I told him.
You told him you wanted 5 or 6 pounds of assorted nuts, and when he said...
Margaret, just a moment, please. May I ask one question? Whose side are you on?
It isn't a question.
It certainly is a question. You were standing right next to me, and I said to him, "We're having a party for a few friends, and I'd like a few nuts." That's all I said. Wasn't it?
You said 5 or 6 pounds.
Well, why did you let me say 5 or 6 pounds?
Father!
This whole thing started out just a little get-together.
Father, may I have $9?
No. If I hadn't won that knot-headed turkey in the first place...
But the man's waiting.
Well, let him wait. I said we'd invite a few friends. We wind up with half of Springfield.
Father, the man says it's $9 and he can't leave the package if he doesn't get it.
I don't care if he... What package?
Oh, dear, that must be the noisemakers.
The what?
Jim, you can't have a New Year's Eve party.
$9 for noisemakers?
No. But we had to have paper plates and napkins, and I thought a few decorations would look nice.
Betty.
Yes, Father?
Here's my wallet. Just stand in front of the house and throw money at anybody who walks by.
Okay, Father. I'll let you know when I run short.
Yes, you do that.
Jim.
Honey, this is getting ridiculous. I've done nothing but pay bills ever since Hector walked in here with that free turkey.
But, Jim, you can't have 40 people.
I didn't say I wanted 40 people. All I said was...
You said we were going to pay our social obligations.
All right, but since when are we obligated to 40 people? I don't even know 40 people.
Now, look, Jim, let's be fair about it. I haven't asked one single person...
Since when do we owe anything to the Clarks? I haven't even seen Tom Clark in almost 2 years.
Well?
And the Donaldsons. I don't even like the Donaldsons.
I know, Jim.
Then why did you ask them?
Because Kay Donaldson is the only one in the neighborhood with a large enough pan, that's why.
What?
I suppose you think it's easy to find a pan that'll hold a 35-pound turkey. I certainly wasn't going to buy one just for this once.
I know, honey, but I thought if we just bought a few pickles...
Jim Anderson, you can't have a party with just turkey and pickles.
Well, sure, but...
I just bought the things that any decent housewife would buy, and not one thing more.
Margaret,
here's the list. And if you can find one thing we didn't need, but one thing...
Margaret...
You can't make an aspic salad without Jell-O, and you certainly have to have lettuce.
I know, but...
And what else did I buy? Just olives and celery, radishes, onions, tomatoes, carrots, potatoes...
But...
Coffee, milk, butter, bread, cheese...
But...
Cranberries, apples, pears, cherries, grapes...
But...
Ice cream and mince pie and pumpkin pie and a few little cakes...
But...
And mince and potato chips and a ham... And how can you possibly have a party without things like that?
But...
I think you're being very unreasonable about the whole thing.
But...
I really do.
But... Is that all?
Yes, that's all.
Honey, look, it isn't worth arguing about, is it?
Of course not.
Well, then let's forget about the whole thing, okay?
All right.
Good.
But if you say one more word...
I won't, so help me. Not another word.
Mom.
Did you get it, Bud?
Boy, is it heavy.
No matter what comes up, I'll just grin and... Ye gods, what's that?
Where do you want me to put it, Mom?
On the table, dear. That'll be fine.
I think she's got it stuffed with lead.
What is it, a wash boiler?
It's Mrs. Donaldson's roaster.
Margaret.
Yes, Jim?
Where's the stove that goes with it?
What?
The stove. You certainly don't expect to get that thing in our oven, do you?
Well, I... Oh, dear.
This is fine. Now we'll have 5 pounds of mixed nuts and a new stove.
Don't be ridiculous.
Well, it certainly won't fit in the one we've got.
How would it be if we banged in the sides a little?
The roaster or the stove?
We'll have to send it down to the tavern, that's all.
The stove or the roaster?
The turkey. We can have it cooked for 20 cents a pound.
A few pickles, that's all I said.
Jim, when will the turkey be ready?
Oh, well, Johnny said if I'd bring it over to his house...
You mean you haven't?
Well, he said it would only take an hour to kill and clean it, and Kathy was having such a good time with it.
But it's after 10 o'clock.
Well, I didn't figure there was any hurry, so...
Do you know how long it takes to cook a 35-pound turkey?
A couple of hours, I guess.
A couple? It takes 15 minutes a pound, and 35 pounds, that's almost 9 hours.
Takes that long, huh?
Jim Anderson, I...
Well, we'd better get started. Bud, why don't you take Irene...
Me? Why do I have to do it?
Now, just a minute, Bud. You're going to eat the turkey, aren't you?
Well, sure, but why do I have to be the one to have him killed?
Margaret, have you ever heard anything so ridiculous in your whole life?
Well, Bud has become very attached to Irene.
Oh, why doesn't Betty take him down? She doesn't even like him.
That isn't so.
Well, you run away from him every time he comes over.
That has nothing to do with it. I think he's very cute.
Bud, he's only a turkey.
Then why don't you take him down?
Just a minute, Bud. Let's not forget, I'm still your father.
I'm sorry, Dad, but holy cow.
Jim, I don't know how much more of this I can stand. You've been arguing the same thing for 3 days.
Honey, look, you'd know exactly what to tell Johnny. I mean, about how you want him cleaned and everything.
There isn't anything to tell him. You just clean it, that's all.
Okay, I've got another idea. Kathy!
You want me, Daddy?
Bring Irene up here like a good girl.
Okay.
Now, here's what we'll do. We'll put Irene in the car, and we'll all drive over to Johnny's together.
Jim.
It'll do us good to get out in the fresh air and...
Jim Anderson, you're afraid.
Afraid? Why, Irene and I get along fine.
That isn't what I mean. You're afraid to have him killed.
Margaret, how can you say a thing like that? It's just that... Well, I've got a million things to do around here. I've got to,
Yes?
Well, I expect to be very busy all morning. And I certainly think that with three children in the house... Now look, Bud.
I'm sorry, Dad, but I don't want to have anything to do with it.
And don't look at me.
That's fine. That's just fine. I ask you to do one little thing for me.
Daddy, isn't this cute?
Oh, no.
My good coat.
Kathy, why do you insist on teasing that poor bird?
Oh, but he likes it. Don't you, Irene?
What's he supposed to be? Santa Claus?
Kathy, take my coat off him right now.
Gee whiz, he can't even have any fun.
And take the ribbon off his head.
Yes, Mommy. Excuse me, Irene.
Jim?
Hmm?
Go ahead.
What?
Jim, it's got to be done, and now.
Well, okay. Let me have the rope, Kathy.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to take Irene for a little ride, that's all.
No.
Bud, take the roaster and the dressing.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Mother.
Now, we've got to be sensible about this, you know.
I'll be back in a little while. Now, come on, Irene.
Mommy!
Oh, my poor baby.
Fun, Tom?
Jim, I've got to hand it to you. When you throw a party, it's a party.
Well, if you're going to do a thing, you might as well do it right. That's what I always
say. Yes, sir.
Oh, excuse me, Tom. Heck, can I speak to you for a minute?
Yahoo! Oh, how you doing, Jim? Ed and I were just saying...
We feel sort of like the fairy godfather to this whole clam bake.
You do, huh?
Why, sure. We brought the turkey over, didn't we?
What a turkey.
Yeah.
And what a party. I've had three helpings of everything.
You've had four.
Well, who keeps score?
Jim does. Very funny, both of you. And I hope you know what this party's costing me, you and your turkey.
What are you kicking about?
Only cost you a dime, didn't it?
That's what you think.
Daddy!
By the time I got through with...
Daddy, want to hear something cute?
I'm very busy, Kathleen.
Oh, but it'll only take a second. Go ahead, honey. That means Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Irene.
He was cute, wasn't he, Mommy?
Yes, dear.
Cute. I wish I'd never laid eyes on him. May I have my coffee, please?
Of course, dear.
It's a good thing the butcher had an extra turkey, wasn't it, Dad?
Oh, yes. Haven't you heard? I'm a very lucky fella.
Oh, Jim, you know you're just as happy as we are that Irene wasn't killed.
Sure. I'm the happiest guy in Springfield. I'm very happy.
Mr. Thompson says he'll have his own cage and everything.
May I please have the cream and sugar?
And I don't think 50 cents is very much.
It's cheap, considering how much Irene eats.
And the man said we can visit him every Sunday if we want to.
Will someone please pass the cream and sugar?
You know, Dad...
Bud, please, not now. Here you are, dear.
Thank you. 50 cents a week. That's $26 a year. Just because I took one measly 10-cent chance.
Gee, isn't it nice to have a lucky father?
Do During this holiday season, we'd like to wish you a very happy new year. For our part, during the year ahead, we're going to see to it that you enjoy wonderfully good coffee every pound of Maxwell House you open. We know that these days you're on the lookout for the most in flavor for every penny you spend. And next year, just as every year, for more than half a century, that's what you can expect in every pound of our Maxwell House coffee. A generous extra measure of flavor in every familiar blue tin. And with this promise from Maxwell House, let me extend again our sincerest wishes for a very happy new year. At breakfast time, you don't have to say,
"You children eat your cereal right this instant."
Just say,
"Hopalong Cassidy is crazy about hot wheat meal."
Just a little psychology. Yes, to get your children to eat a hot cereal, just tell them post-wheat meal is Hopalong Cassidy's favorite hot cereal, and they'll eat it too. Post-wheat meal is chock full of solid whole wheat nourishment, has a wonderful nut-like flavor, and it cooks in just 3.5 minutes. You'll see, you'll all agree, it's the best hot cereal you ever ate.
Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James. Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Bargy and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. So until next Thursday night, for all of us and for the makers of Maxwell House Coffee, may we wish you again a very happy new year.
Jack Webb and Dragnet. Good listening next on NBC.
Those were spot on right there.
I like that. Yeah.
That NBC chimes are right on the money.
You know, Jack Webb was married to Julie London.
Yes. 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 Jack did well for himself.
I guess.
Yeah. He created the Dragnet show. And that thing was on radio, it was on television, it was in the movies. It was big time. It started as a black and white, then went to color. And then he started producing other shows, like, I think, One Adam 12 and some other shows like Emergency. So he's a big time producer.
The beauties of the 70s.
Yeah, I'll say. Wayne Messmer has been with me here all the way from 10 p.m. And we still have 15 more minutes on the air, Wayne. And folks, if you want to get a hold of Wayne, check out what he's doing. Go to his website, WayneMessmer.com, WayneMessmer.com. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, so your book, The Voice of Victory.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. Are you talking to me?
Yeah, The Voice of Victory.
The Voice of Victory. Tell us about the book and how they can get it.
It's autobiographical. It tells about some of the fun things. It talks about WXFM and old
and me
radio.
Drawing your covers.
I
am not in there.
I don't think I'm in there. I mentioned Carol, but not. There was a typo on a thing for those of you who missed it earlier. on a program guide, because Carl, I think it's really fun though the fact that that I did stash those program guides.
That's
and
great.
When we talked about getting together for tonight, I said I know exactly where they are, and
you must
copies.
Be organized because that's 1981. Now we're talking about.
Yeah, it was. They were in a gigantic, like an art portfolio scrapbook type of thing. So they were they're pristine.
Yes, I love them, and you can see them on WGN Facebook's page.
Oh, sure you can.
Ashley Byhan, our wonderful producer, took some pictures, and they're up there. But back to the book. So tell us a little bit more about the book.
Well, again, it's autobiographical, and it says how I'm I've got an attitude of gratitude for sure. And it talks about an incident in 25 years ago, 1994, and had the misfortune of being a victim of a random act of violence, shot, and but came out of it, able to sing and speak and live through all of that. So part of part of it has to do with getting past those kinds of things and an element of forgiveness, which is written in there as well.
Reading the book, it talks a little bit about the tie that you were wearing and how that really helped save your life, too.
One of the things, yeah.
Tell us about that.
I was wearing one of those Save the Children Foundation ties, and they're designed by kids. This one was designed by a 15-year-old because it had a child's name on the back and their age. And strangely enough, it was a 15-year-old who pulled the trigger on me and shot point-blank 9mm in the neck. I don't know a lot of people who lived through that and certainly didn't go on to continue a career speaking and singing. But the tie went into the bullet wound and stopped a lot of the bleeding until I was able to get help from the paramedics.
And you are the one that called 911, right?
I did not.
Oh, you did not. Okay.
No, but I was the one who drove. I had just gotten into my car.
But you drove somehow.
I drove a block and a half back to where I just come from, got out of the car, knocked on the door, and I was unable to make a sound of any kind, which pretty freaky. The Golden Goose has just been run over.
Mm-hmm.
But I sat down, and amazingly, I thought what I do for a living may have come to a very abrupt end.
Oh, sure.
But who I was not going to change. And I thought dying is not an option. And off we went to Cook County Hospital at the time and a life-saving 10-hour surgery. And I woke up 2.5 days later with a few questions.
Mm.
And, day by day, step by step. So it's tough to ruin my day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day to me is, because there's a wonderful phrase that says, sometimes you will never know the true value of a moment until it becomes a memory. And you go, wow. It's like when we just ran into each other recently and you said, hey, why don't you sit in, I don't know, I'd rather sleep. Or I'd rather... No, I wouldn't pass up this opportunity, and I thank you for the invitation.
Thank you.
But, the question is, what is it? It becomes a memory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I get up every morning, and I think, where is it going to happen today? Because it's going to happen. And if you get into the habit of looking for goodness and beauty, you get into the habit of finding it.
How difficult was it for you to regain your voice? There's not one iota of difference between now and before the accident. So how was that a lot of work to get your voice back?
It was a lot of patience and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that living through it was incredible. Being able to speak is almost inconceivable, considering the damage that was done. And then still being able to sing is nothing short of a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is a miracle.
Yeah. But, you've got to get past these things. We've all been banged and bruised and bumped somehow. And I think if you want to be a member of the human race, you got to pay a price. And there are only two types of people in the world, those who have been hurt and those who have been hurt worse.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, it's really inspirational, and your life is an amazing accomplishment, all the things you're doing. You're like one of the busiest people I know. You're doing 200-plus events a year, you speak. You're a keynote speaker. You obviously sing at all the Wolves games that are home games. You sing at the Cubs games. You have your own radio show. You've written a book. Am I forgetting anything? You're a husband, you're a grandfather, you're a father, co-host.
Well, yeah,
tonight.
And all of which is great. All of which is great.
It's a great life.
Yeah.
It's a great life.
I mentioned the phrase attitude of gratitude, and you can, it's contagious, just as in negativity.
Yeah,
we're having a great time, and then Frank showed up.
that grumpy Frank.
Ooh,
how dare he! Your book, The Voice of Victory, Amazon is that
Amazon,
the best place to get it?
Mm-hmm. And this is this is a reprint, a new version. It's with a different publishing company, and It's the Silver Anniversary Special Edition.
Yeah. Well,
it's got a happy ending, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm not ruining anything.
It definitely does. So what's on the horizon? Anything, any other big projects we can get a sneak peek at?
Wow. Well, I just got off a bunch of Christmas shows where I sang with orchestras and bands.
Any LPs coming out or CDs coming out?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always.
And you sing not only solo, but you sing in a trio and you sing in a big band sometimes.
Right.
And amazing. And if I think everyone listening has heard Wayne sing the national anthem, but if you haven't, boy, I'll tell you, it's something to behold. It's an amazing rendition that you do. It's the Wayne Messmer version. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Thanks for being my co-host tonight.
This has been delightful.
It was a delight for me. Make sure you check out his website, WayneMessmer.com, and listen to his radio show on WDCB. You can hear this the dulcet tones of Wayne Messmer every Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m. He has a jazz show on 90.9 WDCB, and you can stream it on WDCB.org.
Correct.
All right, so check that all out. And next Saturday, I will be back here with Lisa, and we have Burt Ward, Robin, from the Batman 1966 through 1968 television series. We will have
Pow Zoom.
That's right, Bang Zoom. We will have some calls. And we will play five classic radio shows with five villains in them. Actually, six villains, because one show actually has Vincent Price and Ida Lupino in it, a suspense, Fugue in C minor. And so I actually found one radio show with two villains, because she was a villain. And so, obviously, Vincent Price was Egghead.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of fun to talk to
Burt
Ward.
Like fun.
All right, well, thanks for listening. Ashley Byhun, you're the best.